Today's episode of Wine Time Fridays is brought to you in part by our friends at Naked Wines and Elsom Cellars.
Get world-class wines delivered at home thanks to Naked Wines. Save big on wines from the world's best winemakers. Visit nakedwines.com/winetimefridays to get $100 off your first 12-pack case. With Naked Wines, discovering new wines is truly risk-free.
Good times and great wines are meant to be shared. Since 2006, Elsom Cellars has been producing 100% local Washington wine from Washington's top vineyards. Visit elsomcellars.com for more information or simply call 425-298-3082.
So now, though, the Tablas Creek clones are available at a nursery called Nova Vines.
So what's interesting is that we have a wine cellar, Liberty Lake Wine Cellars, and they get their grapes from Washington. They're barely in Washington. They're close to Idaho. They have one of the clones.
Oh,
Tablas Creek Syrah.
Syrah clone, which is very cool. I was like, oh, I know that clone.
Yes.
It's been a long week, right? Are you ready to wind down? Why not? It's time for the Wine Time Fridays podcast with Shelley and Phil. Neither are sommeliers, but both have a deep passion for life, each other, and of course, delicious wine. And now, here to talk about this week over a glass of wine is Shelley and Phil. It's wine time.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Wine Time Fridays with Shelley and Phil. Episode 180, even though our show notes say 185. Episode 180, September 20th. Shelley, you need a wine bell. Happy Friday, Shelley. It's wine time.
We'll explain that later.
Okay. We are in part one of our trip to Paso Robles. And by the way, we're at Tablas Creek, but we've been doing some research. We have Lisa Rainey with us. Lisa, we've done some research, and one of the things we heard is the correct
mispronunciation
of Paso Robles, but it's now just called Paso Robles. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you.
It's a very long, awkward introduction to our podcast here at Tablas Creek in Paso Robles. Okay, I can tell I'm going to be sipping today.
El Paso de Robles was where the name came from.
Yeah, and it
City
means
of Oaks.
City of Oaks. That's right. So we have six different wines we're going to taste through, and we're going to taste some whites and a rosé, and then we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get in some reds. And I believe a bonus, Shelley, is a tannat at the very end.
Our very favorite.
So, great. Lisa, let's do this. Tell us a little bit about you and Tablas Creek, and then we'll start tasting through some of these. We can talk about them. Does that sound good?
All right.
Okay, beautiful.
So my husband and I have been wine club members at Tablas Creek for the past 10 years. And in September of 20, I decided that I wanted to come out of retirement and start pouring wine. And Tablas Creek was looking for folks to do that. And I thought, what a better place than a place that I was truly passionate about the wine and had a little bit of experience drinking the wine.
Yeah. It's the best way to talk about it when you have that experience.
Yes. So Tablas Creek is a partnership between two families, an American family and a French family. The American family is the Haas family. Robert Haas was our American founder. And the French family are the Perrins. And the Perrins are in Chateau Beaucastel, which is in the Chateauneuf-du-Pape region of the Rhone Valley. And the two families became acquainted with one another in the 70s when Robert started to import wines from Beaucastel. Nice. And at that time, Jacques Perrin was running Beaucastel. And Robert convinced Jacques to let two of his sons travel to the United States with him to help promote wines from Chateauneuf-du-Pape as well as from the Côte-de-Rhône. And any time their travels would lead them to California, they would go wine tasting.
As one will.
As, yes, one in Rome, right?
Should. As one should.
Yes, as one should. And in the 70s, when they were wine tasting, they noticed that at that time there wasn't anyone that was focusing on growing and selling the full portfolio of Rome wines. So it was actually back in the 70s that they first started really thinking about starting a Rome-centric winery. So in 1985, they legally formed a partnership, and in 1987 started to look for land where they could start a winery. And they looked all up and down the coast of California, but there were three things that were really driving their decision as to where they wanted to start a winery. And the first is they wanted to find an area that would get enough rainfall so that they could dry farm. So they wanted to grow fruit without the use of any supplemental irrigation.
Nice.
So we get about 25 inches of annual rainfall here, which is enough to support dry farm vines.
And do you guys have a winery dog?
We do. We have several winery dogs,
vineyard
actually.
Dogs?
Yes. We're very dog friendly here. Most everyone that works in the cellar has a dog, and they get to come to work with them.
What dog is staring at us right now?
I think that is... don't remember her name.
Well, that's all right. A little kitty.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's okay. So currently over 40% of our production comes from dry farm vines. And then about 10 years ago, we purchased a 35-acre parcel that we call Jewel Ridge. That sat fallow for 6 years. And we planted it about four, we planted it at our first harvest last year, but when that comes into full production, over 50% of our production will come from dry farm vines. So the second thing they were looking for was a similar Mediterranean climate. We do have a full-time vineyard crew, and we do hand harvest our fruit.
Wow.
That process normally starts in August, and we don't typically wrap up until sometime in October. So they needed to find an area that would be free of frost until at least early November.
So when they looked at this area, someone said, I think it was the people who came over from...
Boca Estel.
Yeah, said, I'll never get that right, by the way. So whenever I say, and you'll say, and that's perfect.
Okay, good.
They said, this reminds us of the Rhone Valley.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so thus these wines,
yes.
The varietals that are Rhone varietals. I think that's fantastic. You have said dry farming two or three times right now. I think it'd be apropos while we taste through the very first wine to have you explain our
CDA Gourmet
wine word of the week, which is dry farming.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That is our wine words, actually, of the week. But we'll taste through a little of this Marsan, I believe,
yes,
is the first one.
Yes, the Marsan. And then you can. The first wine that
yep,
you're going to
so
be
this
tasting.
Is a 2022 Marsan Tablas Creek out of Paso Robles from the Adelaida district of Paso.
Yes.
Yes.
Estate grown, 100% estate grown here. So with dry farming, as I mentioned, we just rely on the annual rainfall that we get. And actually, the reason at Tablas Creek we can so successfully dry farm is because we have a lot of calcareous limestone in our
yes.
soil, which was the third thing the Haas and Prins were looking for. So even in years where we don't get a lot of rainfall, the rainfall that we do get stays here because of that,
mm-hmm.
The limestone. So it's really absorbent, and it'll allow the root structures to extract the moisture. So it's interesting to note, when you first pulled into our parking lot, there was a block of dry farmed Mavedra vines.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest benefits of dry farming is the root structures that those vines develop.
They have to really go down
yes.
to look
and
for that water.
Those vines yeah. over there that you looked at, their root structures probably go 30 feet down
wow.
into the ground, and they go just straight down.
Wow.
And often guests will ask me how long a vine will live. And my answer is always, it depends
yeah.
on how it's farmed. Dry farmed vines will probably outlive all of us here.
Yeah, just because of the resiliency,
so
right?
Resilient.
Yeah,
yes.
That's
and
fantastic. Love
it
that.
It also is stressful to the vines.
Mm-hmm.
Vines love stress.
It's like
it's
our
so
kids
right?
need discipline.
Right.
Vines need
they stress.
And that's really counterintuitive.
It is.
Right? It's like, why don't we give them all the water they need so they can grow this great fruit? Yeah, yes. You'll get a lot of fruit, but it's not going to have the nuances as, right? As
right.
When those roots go way down and that vine has earned the right of the berries and fruit that come out.
It's interesting. Jason Haas, who now runs our daily operations, Robert Haas passed away in 2018, but his son Jason still runs the daily operations. And anytime he's entertaining a group, I always listen in to see if I can hear something that that I could share. And I heard him addressing a group, and his comment was, so first of all, irrigated vines, their root systems probably go 5 or 6 feet down in the ground.
Yeah.
And his comment was, you could go really anywhere in Paso Robles, and if you go down in the soil 5 or 6 feet, the soil is soil. It's pretty much the same everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go down 30 feet, that's when things get interesting.
There is your terroir.
Correct.
Back to nuances,
Because
you're going to have your micro climates and micro terroir. And,
And there's a lot of microclimates in Paso Robles.
Yeah.
Yes. In fact, this map shows you the 11 Ooh. Different American viticultural areas, or AVAs, that make up Paso Robles. And to your point, each is really known for something unique and distinct. We're here in the Adelaida District, Tablas Creek is. And what we're really known for is our soil here, that calcareous limestone in our soil.
So Jason really spearheaded. He kind of took it home, the whole getting those 11 AVAs, because there was like they wanted to just have two. Like east and west.
Why
Paso.
Why would we get 11? We could just cut it down.
Yeah. It's like that looks good, but that it seems like it would create a whole lot of animosity and competition. Competition in and of itself isn't bad, but as long as you all are working together, you raise that, right?
Yes.
Knowing this story reminds me so much, I told Shelley this in the car, of the Robert Mondavi story. Of everyone is like, no, these are our notes down there. And he's, no, we will share. We're all competitors. But if one succeeds, we all succeed.
Correct.
That whole idea and mindset. And that's what struck me in doing the research, which we did more for this stop than probably any of the others because we had some time in the car. But that it's really a community thing. Yeah, we all have our own wineries, but we're sharing some things, which was... It's not easy for people to do that when it's so competitive. This is a very competitive industry.
Well, and one of the first things they did in terms of that sharing was once they found this property in 1989, they started doing some plantings, primarily Grenache, Syrah, and Mourvèdre, but then at that same time started a process of importing cuttings directly from Bocastel to plant. And we did that in two phases. And the initial group of vines that we imported, we brought in 7 Chetinef de Pomperon varietals in addition to Viognier and Marsan.
Nice.
The varietal that you're tasting right now.
100%.
So these vines went to Cornell University for quarantine, and the next group went to UC Davis. We're really proud at Tablas Creek of the fact that we took our vines through the quarantine process.
Yeah.
Vineyards have sidestepped that process because it takes a minimum of 3 years to get vines through the quarantine process. So there was actually a commercial nursery here on site.
Oh, it's not here.
When the vineyard was getting started.
Oh, okay.
So the initial Bocastel clones were planted in 94 and then the first harvest in 97. So now, though, the Tablas Creek clones are available at a nursery called Nova Vines up in
So what's interesting is that we have a wine cellar, Liberty Lake Wine Cellar, and they get their grapes from Washington. They're barely in Washington. They're close to Idaho. They have one of the clones.
Oh,
it's a Syrah.
Syrah clone. Which is very cool. I was like, oh, I know that clone.
Yes.
So we're actually going to have Mark and Sarah on November 3rd. I think it's episode 185. That is 185. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny how things come around.
Yes.
They're using one of your clones to make wines up there, mm-hmm. which is fantastic. We can talk with them how they went through that process.
Of getting
And here we are at the source of those cuttings. which I again, I love. In fact, there was a time when you've had some tough years where you didn't even weren't making enough wine to supply this tasting room that we're sitting in.
Or the distributors weren't getting it.
Yeah.
Or that's, I guess, you could only do the tasting room and your wine club and not the distributors and the
and
restaurants.
And you want to keep the distributors happy.
Yes. So you had to buy back some of your clones just to,
great introduction to our second wine here.
Okay.
So this is our Lignée de Tavelas Grenache Blanc.
Ooh.
So this is the first, we just released this beginning of August. This is a brand new line for us, this Lignée de Tavelas Grenache Blanc. So historically, we've only ever made three wines that were non-estate, and those are our Patelin de Tavelas wines. We do a Patelin de Tavelas Blanc, which is Grenache Blanc based. We do a Patelin de Tavelas Rosé, which is Grenache based. And we do a Patelin Red, which is Syrah based. Patelin is French slang for neighborhood. Oh. And we purchase the fruit for our Patelin wines from other wineries in Paso Robles.
That we're using your clones?
Well, some do, some don't, but okay. Not yet. Some, they may or may not, but they're Paso Robles wineries. Now, okay. The Lignée de Tavelas, this is sourced from a single vineyard. Lignée is lineage. And the vineyard that we source that fruit from, it's 100% Tavelas Creek clones. So very close to being a Tavelas Creek wine, just not grown here. Mm-hmm. And this one is actually, the Lignée comes from a farm over here in the Creston AVA.
Windfall
Farms.
Shelley?
Yeah.
This may be the only time the entire episode that we toast, since now you have a glass in front of you. Right. So excuse us, but to health, wealth, and abundance, gratitude, romance, and
peace on earth.
Cheers.
There we go. Cheers. You can finish the Marsan.
So one thing we should tell our audience is what varietals are Rhones.
Thank you. Can we deviate a little bit on that?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So the Chetnif de Pape Rhone varietals are Mourvèdre, Syrah, Grenache, Cunoise, Roussanne, Grenache Blanc, Picpoul Blanc, Terroir Noir, Vacarès, Cinsault, Muscardon, Clair de Blanc, Picardon, and Beaublanc.
Nice.
So, and actually, in Chetnif de Pape, they only consider 13 varietals. We call it 14. Because they don't differentiate between Grenache and Grenache Blanc.
Ah, got
so
it. Okay,
Tavelas
yeah.
Tavelas Creek was actually responsible for getting Grenache Blanc recognized as a varietal.
Interesting.
And it's also interesting to note, so Viognier and Marsan are Rhone varietals. Where Chetnif de Pape is located, actually 70%, or where Bocastel is located, I'm sorry, 70% of the estate is in Chetnif de Pape and 30% is in Côte de Rhône. So they can grow Marsan and Viognier in that northernmost part of their estate.
Got it.
Because they're very regulated as to what they can grow.
I did show the bottle up on the camera, but this is a 2022, can you say that again?
Lignée de Tavelas.
Yes. Oh, by the way, the Marsan, and correct me if I'm wrong, I did this way late last night when I finished these notes. $40 at the winery, the Marsan. This, I think, what I saw on the on your
that is correct
website, and yes. Then the Lignée de Tavelas Grenache Blanc, $40 also.
$35.
That one's $35. Okay. I'm gonna borrow your pen again.
That's okay.
$35.
And those are our retail prices, and then our wine club members get a 20% discount.
Yeah,
that's a big discount. For
yeah, everybody. And that's really, again, we talk a lot about becoming wine club members. To wineries and bottle shops, wine bars as well. Wineries, you're getting that product, right? What they produce. But you're sometimes getting some library wines. You're getting some special VIP parties, some discounts, as you say. The wine bar and bottle shops, you're getting you're getting all sorts of wine from all around the world, in essence. So it's a nice balance, right?
Yes.
You don't want to pigeonhole yourself. But if you like a wine, like first of all, you would love these wines. These are very, very good. This would be, and to Lisa's point, they moved here, they visited here. These are pretty good wines. Let's go ahead and become a wine club member. Oh my gosh, they're going to pay me to talk about and drink their wine.
Right, exactly.
Lisa's life doesn't suck.
No. And I think with our wine club, we do our Vin Cider Wine Club, which is the 20% discount.
Yeah.
We do 2 shipments to our wine club members a year. 6 bottles in the spring, 6 bottles in the fall.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's really easy.
Can I just say something about this Grenache Blanc?
Absolutely.
I think... the Marsan, okay, first glass of wine of the day. We are recording this at 10 in the morning, by the way, which is not for the weak. Just know.
But there are other people tasting.
Yes, we're not the only ones here. We weren't the first ones to drive in either. But this Grenache Blanc, I am getting this terroir in this glass. I'm sure it was in that first glass of Marsan. That just was acclimating. But this, I'm getting the lime and minerals. Are you getting that?
Yeah, it's really good. Really good.
Mm. Should we move on?
Yes. So the next wine that we're going to be tasting, this is our Padelin de Tablas Rosé.
Padelin.
So as I mentioned, this is a non-estate. What's really interesting, though, we do list on the label. You might want to show this to the guests as well. We list on the side where we did source the fruit. This one is Grenache-based. It's Grenache, Mourvèdre, Cunoise, and a little bit of Vermentino this year for the first time. So this rosé is done direct press method. So about 90% of the fruit is pressed off the skins as soon as it arrives at the winery, and then the other 10% at the end of the day. So that's why in the glass especially, it's so light and pale in color.
Yes.
It's very, very minimal skin contact.
2022 Padelin de Tablas Rosé.
And this retails for $28. All of our Padelin de Tablas wines retail for $28. And something interesting, a new format that we started a year ago with our Padelin wines is we are doing those in a box format. So I mentioned at the beginning, brought you the water canteens.
Yes, by the
us
way.
With eliminating plastic waste.
They provide this for anybody who, and it's a good idea to drink water while you're tasting, stay hydrated. And then these are for purchase, $6 a piece,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
But you don't have to pay for them.
But you don't have, no, this is complimentary to use.
To use while you're
because we're going green.
Yes.
And everyone should be considering doing that whenever you can, right? Recycle, compost, go green like this. So
the box wines, what's interesting about that is it's the equivalent of 4 bottles of our Padelin de Tablas. So 4 bottles of Padelin de Tablas would retail for $112. Our box retails for $95.
Yeah.
And all that is packaging savings.
Packaging savings. You don't have to, your 4 bottles. So this rosé is one of those that come like that?
Yes.
Okay, so.
We released it in February. It is sold out. But we have our Padelin Red available.
But my point is, for this rosé, you stick it in the fridge, right? And you're ready for it. What are you feeling like tonight? I have a little rosé. Do we have an open bottle? No, but we have the box that we opened 3.5 weeks ago.
Right.
That is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. We had last night a Lindsay Creek from Idaho, Chardonnay. But they have a Riesling that they do in a bag. And they cut the cost considerably. And that bag, we've had open for, dare we say, 3 months?
Close, yeah.
And it's still delivers.
There's no air
right. getting in.
Absolutely.
And so I think sometimes we should consider the romance of a cork and opening of the bottle is great. It really is. There's nothing like it. But we don't have to do that on all of the wine that we drink.
Right.
Let's be considerate of our world and our pocketbook.
Another nice benefit I noticed of box wine, if you're doing a braise or something, you're doing a recipe that needs half a cup weight wine.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you don't want to use...
Just go get it out of my box.
Yeah, you don't want to use crap wine.
Nice.
Can we just stop using crap wine when you cook, right?
Right. Absolutely. And then you notice our these 2 wines do have the twist enclosure on them.
Yep, so the first one, Marsan, had the cork.
The cork, and the last, those two... twist.
It's, you know, so like Australia, 98% of the wines out of Australia are twist caps. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now there are kind of a few of them are kind of coming back with some corks, whatever.
And they do a lot of box format.
Yeah.
As well.
So, Shelley, first of all of these are phenomenal. This thing is still on my tongue. It's just like got this little buzz going back there. I love it. This is a blended rosé.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we're going to take a quick break because okay. I'm trying to honor Lisa's time. Shelley's always on me.
Okay. All right, so, and I'll go get more wines.
Take a quick break. We'll okay. be right back.
Wine gathers its taste from everything it encounters. The earth, the air, everything leaves a mark, and so do people. If we are sipping great wine with strangers, before long we find out just how much we all have in common. Quality grapes and great wines are meant to be shared, and so are good times with new friends. At Elsom Cellars, we have been producing 100% local Washington wine from Washington's top vineyards since 2006. Owner Jody Elsom is a pioneer in the Seattle urban winery movement and has been producing brilliant Washington wines in the city while exploring the complexities found only in vineyards east of the Cascades. Not only do we have the wine and our popular Corks on the Loose wine club, we also have the venue, a quick 5-minute drive south of downtown Seattle or a simple 10-minute walk from the Soto Link Light Rail Station. And we think we throw a pretty good party, too. Check out our upcoming events by visiting elsomcellars.com. Follow us on social for the latest on everything happening at the winery, or simply call 425-298-3082. Straight from the winemaker, right to your door, premium wine without the premium pricing is what Naked Wines is all about. For $40 a month, you support the world's best winemakers to produce hundreds of exclusive wines, and that money is yours to spend on wines whenever you'd like. With Naked Wines, there are no strings attached, as well as a no-hassle refund guarantee on any bottle you don't like. And check this out. Wine Time Fridays listeners will get $100 off your first 12-pack order by visiting nakedwines.com/winetimefridays. You are about to make friends with a lot of winemakers because Naked Wines funds over 170 of the world's best, and they make wines exclusively for wine drinkers just like you. Delivery is free on first-time orders and orders over $200. Get started today and save $100 off your first 12-pack order by visiting nakedwines.com/winetimefridays. With Naked Wines, discovering new wines is truly risk-free.
Welcome back to Wine Time Fridays with Shelley and Phil and Lisa Rainey from Tablas Creek Winery down here in Paso Robles. We have just tasted through a Marsan, a Lignée de Tablas Grenache Blanc. You know, the stuff that I stumble over, I did fine. It was the Grenache Blanc. I
right.
fell on my face. And the Padelin de Tablas Rosé, which is basically a rosé blend, is fantastic. It's super light and very dry and very delicious. We're going to move on to reds, starting with the Côte de Tablas.
Yes. So this is a Grenache-based blend.
Oh,
we also do a Côte Blanc, which is always Viognier-based.
So this is a Grenache-based blend?
Grenache-based blend.
Rumor has it, Lisa.
What? Our Blanc is Viognier based.
Okay,
we do
a
Grenache
saying.
Blanc. Okay. And those two blends are our tribute to a Côte de Rome.
So rumor has it that you are, at the very moment we are recording this on Monday morning, you are getting Grenache in now.
Yes, we are. Yes.
We saw a video of that. One of your...
Ray, one of my counterparts.
Yes.
Yeah, one of my peers.
Came in and showed us and said we may want to go out and take a peek. So once we wrap up this, we may just do that.
Okay.
This is a live winery in action.
That's right.
Taking a state fruit in the middle of freaking harvest, which is one of the reasons why it's hard to get people to do these. So we're really happy that you took the time. Very, very happy. So let's get to this Grenache-based blend called Côte de Tablas.
Yes. This one retails for $40. I love this wine. I mean, just for a day in, day out, this wine for me is a wine that I'll pull out. If, you know, Wednesday night, I'm having a nice dinner. I want a nice bottle of wine, but I don't want to break the bank.
That's this one right here, correct?
That I've spent. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love to pull out a Cote de Table.
Smell that.
The other thing I love is I think they're very approachable when they're young, but just a little patience in aging.
Patience.
A week ago, we opened a 2011 vintage of that, and it was dynamite.
So a little patience, you said. How many years of patience?
You know, anytime I open one that's 4 years, 5 years old.
Yeah.
I can really make, it really makes a remarkable difference.
It's built to drink now. Mm-hmm. No problem.
No problem.
Because this is a, in fact, if you would hand me that bottle, I will.
It's our 2021.
2021 Cote de Table.
And it retails for $40.
It retails for $40. So when you say have a little patience, Lisa, you know as well as I do, those of us who enjoy wine.
Have no patience.
Have little patience.
Right.
Some has zero. Yeah. What so the little joke in our house is Shelly gives me this really nice collection of wine or wine and says, I can't open it for 10 years. It's like, thanks, honey.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that. Do I get a card that I can at least open now?
Right.
So this is, I think, very fruit forward.
Mm-hmm. Some tannins still. I can see where you could lie this one down a while.
It really fits the bill for me on a lot of evenings when I just feel like I want red.
But you don't want heavy.
And I don't want heavy, yeah. And I don't want to research what's the best varietal to go with what I'm serving. Mm-hmm. And I love Grenache. I love our 100% Grenache. I really lean toward Grenache-based blends.
It's one of the more fun questions that I will ask a sommelier is off the clock when you're at home. You're not working. What do you open? Yep. You know
so
what?
Now we know.
Well, but I mean, it's going to be something that's not going to break the bank. Something that's easy drinking. Something you don't have to think about.
Right.
I mean, this all is fantastic, but we're kind of doing a little deep dive into a lot of these. And but sometimes you want to just open a bottle and pour it and say I like it or don't.
Yeah.
It's as easy as that. You know. So this is delicious. Shelly, you're not having any more. Look at the legs on that. This has got beautiful color.
I've been leaning towards Grenache lately.
That's
right. I seem to go, okay, I like this one, then I'm into the Zinfandels, and now the Grenache.
I've been leaning towards Malbecs lately. So it really is kind of interesting how our palate decides to have a mood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Next one, while I finish this up, is the Esprit de Table.
Esprit de Table. So this is our 2020 vintage of our Esprit de Table. So Robert Haas, when he started Table Creek, he had a vision that he just wanted to create two wines. He set out to create a red blend and a white blend. And the Esprit is the blend that he set out to make. So this is our flagship wine. Our Esprit Red is always Mourvèdre based, and our Esprit Blanc is always Roussanne based.
Nice.
So we do release our Esprit blends in the fall. So there's always the latest release of our Esprit Blanc and our Esprit Red in our fall wine club shipment. So we have just released our 2021 vintage of both the red and the white.
We are drinking the 2020.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
This one, absolutely worth aging. Just at the end of August, we had some friends visiting, and we were having the discussion, is it worth aging them? Does it really benefit? And so we had an occasion. We opened a 2009 and a 2019. The 2019 was stunning. Until we tasted the 9.
Right?
And the 9, and then it was just, wow.
You know, you'll get to this. Just be patient. But, you know, telling that other one, right? You're good. But
yeah. But
there is something to be said for that. This is $70 retail at the winery.
Yes. And this one.
That is not correct.
Yeah. This one's $70. And I, one of the things I... And with that said, that I love them when they're aged. I get have got, I love this one just right out of the gate. And I think that part of it is it's the first time that we've added Vacaras and Cinsault into the blend. So it's historically contained Mourvèdre, Grenache, Syrah, Cunoise. The Syrah and Grenache tend to flip-flop between vintages. One of the things the Perrins still get really involved in today with our winemaking is they do help us put our red blends together each year.
They'll come over during your barrel tasting and start doing your blending.
So they, they'll blind taste lots in the springtime and they score them.
Yeah.
And then each year the blends are put together based on the scores of the wines.
Nice.
So you'll notice our Esprits, our Côte de Tablis, all of our blends are going to vary the percentages vintage to vintage, which they should.
Sure.
No two growing seasons are the same.
Which is the beauty of wine, right?
Yes.
I mean, even if you go single varietal, single vineyard, single block.
Yeah.
You're going to get the nuances of that year.
That growing season.
That's right.
The weather, the rain, you know, the heat, it's all different every year.
So this
is a blend of five?
Six. So it's Mourvèdre, Grenache, Syrah, Cunoise, Vacaras, and Cinsault. So Vacaras and Cinsault, we didn't harvest those until 2019. So they were some of the later of the Chateauneuf du Pape Rhône varietals for us to harvest.
Got it. I hear that there are some chances you get a late frost or something like that that can be hazardous to your crop.
And one of the reasons they settled on this location, though, is that we typically don't have any frost here until November.
Got it.
And normally we are done harvesting by November.
Got it.
So.
Am I thinking a late frost, early frost on that one year where it went?
We had a May frost.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
So for the 2022 growing season,
bloomed.
We had a May frost. Yes, and that really impacted our yield.
Do you have any wind? Turbines?
We do.
Okay.
We do.
Okay, nice.
Yes.
Just
so
to
they,
get
we
that
do have
circulated.
Frost protection plans in place, but they're not 100%.
Sure. And it's so interesting. And Shelly and I love to work soil and garden and stuff like that. We were in an area where it was the growing season was, you know, 11 weeks or something stupid.
11 weeks, maybe two.
Something
you'd have
super
to put your tomatoes on wheels. So
yeah.
You can
roll them in the garage.
Roll them in the garage.
Yeah. But knowing, taking trips to different different areas that have wine country, right? And knowing they know exactly what that point is temperature-wise where they have to get really worried. And it's not 32 degrees. It's like 30.7 degrees, okay? or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
When it hits that point, we did a garage sale, and it was really – do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And the temperature in the morning was cold, but it wasn't freezing. And then all of a sudden, it dropped below 32, and you – boom, everything –
had an ice coat on.
Yeah.
Really
it's
weird.
Just amazing how that works.
On top of a table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know the, you know, again, we talk about the resilient vines, especially those that go 30 feet down in the roots, right? They probably could take a little bit, but they're not going to take much and certainly not sustained.
Right. And it depends on the time of year. If
sure.
the vines are dormant, they
oh, yeah.
don't care.
Yeah.
They don't care.
No, but like in Walla Walla, they'll actually bury the cane. For those every 7 years where you get 11 degree, 10 degrees for 6 or 7 days. That can kill the vine.
Okay.
So they bury the cane. When they don't have one of those, they just cut it off. But if they do, it saves them a couple, 3 years of fruit. Because they don't have to start all over.
Mm-hmm.
They just bring that up and it's started. It's,
right.
You know, part of the family. But anyway, this is fantastic. You want to have another sip of this before we get to our bonus? No? Okay.
I'm trying to be careful.
You are
okay.
trying to be careful. I said I was going to be careful.
Yeah, where's the dump bucket?
Again,
you
I'm
have
the dump
all
bucket.
These
well, I don't have to dump it all, Shell. I guess I could just keep it like that.
Okay, and then this is our Tannat. So this is 100%, or this is Tannat. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit, does this, oh, it's not on the tasting sheet, sorry. I thought it was listed. We do have two rows of cab.
Okay.
In the vineyard that we have planted that typically gets blended into the Tannat.
5-10%.
Yeah. 5-7%. Some years the cab is so exceptional that they do bottle as a single varietal. We usually get about 50 cases when we do that. But we do label it as just 100% Tannat. So Tannat is actually not a Rhone varietal.
Not a Rhone.
Southern France and...
It's from the Basque region.
But there's another country right next to it.
When we imported this first group of cuttings from Bocastel, we were expecting to receive these 7 Chenin de Pape Rhone varietals, the Marsan and Viognier. Mm-hmm. So we were expecting 9 different varietals. And instead of 9, 11 showed up. So they started doing some investigating, doing some research, trying to figure out why we got the extra varietals. And what they found out was that the gentleman at the greenhouse that was packaging the cuttings for the Perrin family thought that Vermentino as well as Tannat would grow well in Paso Robles.
Wow.
So added in
took it upon himself.
Yes, to add
I love that.
So Tablas Creek was responsible for introducing Tannat to the United States.
2020.
Oh, nice.
Tannat. And by the way,
and this is our favorite Tannat.
And we've been pushing Tannat from Paso
for
years. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and now we are going to...
from the originators.
Yeah.
The originators. Why do I get a taste first?
I think I tasted first last one.
Lisa, we have a little business to do while Shelley is tasting that. We'll give your voice a rest. I wanted to say something about some of the wines that we've had this week and enjoyed. The Akoya Pinot Noir, 7 Cellars, Elway's Reserve Chardonnay, by the way. That was sensational. Mm-hmm. We had Elephant 7 Syrah. Bledsoe Family Winery, Elizabeth Chardonnay, maybe one of our favorite Chardonnays right now going. A little spendy at $55, but sometimes it's worth the squeeze. And Lindsay Creek Chardonnay, like we just talked about. Some things coming up. World Vronic Day on the 5th. Orange Wine Day, Shelley, that's a week from today. Mm-hmm. We have 2 orange wines we're going to be doing next week.
We do.
I think that we're so excited. Have you had an orange wine?
I have.
It's kind of this little trendy thing, right? We don't know if it's going to hold. I don't know what the difference is between that and a freaking rosé, but we'll do some research and figure out what is the difference. There is a difference.
So typically orange wines are made from white
grapes. So it's the white skins.
White skins. And white wines are typically pressed off the skins as soon as they arrive.
Yeah.
So it is a little similar in style in terms of it's left on the skins.
Yeah.
And so the skins give that orange hue to the wine. To me, a lot of the orange wines I've had as well, totally different mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Than a typical crisp. White wine.
But versus rosé, which is coming off a red grape.
Red grapes.
Which should have a little bit heavier mouthfeel, a little chewier maybe. Mm. That'll be interesting.
Depends how long
they're
on. Maybe we should actually...
Yeah, depends on how long they're on the skins.
Maybe we should pull out a rosé to taste along with those orange wines. That'd be 3 wines. We could do that. It's our podcast.
It's gonna be great.
That's a week from today. Pinotage Day, the 14th. Austrian Sekt. Sparkler, Shelley, if you didn't know. Day. International Mavra Day. Carignan Day is coming up the 26th. World Champagne Day. Everybody loves champagne. 27th. And International Zeno Mavro Day, November 1st. Not sure if we're going to break out a Zeno Mavro since we're going to have all these Paso wineries that we're going to feature. And we're going to talk about that a little bit next week on who we stopped by and saw and are featuring. We already know we're doing Tablas Creek because, you're listening to this right now. And so, but we'll kind of go a little bit further into that. Again, orange wine next week. Special thanks to our sponsor today, Naked Wines and Elsom Cellars. And now I've done business. I've got the business out of the way. Do we want to wrap up at all with some fun little tidbit?
Let's just ask our Is the winery or the vineyards planning to plant anything different in the coming years?
Oh, good question,
yeah. So will they stick with what they're
doing? Carmenere down the road, they will, Cab Franc.
Sticking with the right. Cetinif de Pop, yeah, with the Rhone varietals.
Okay.
We do have a block that we are in the process of grafting that will have all 14 of the Cetinif de Pop Rhone varietals in one location.
Oh, wow.
So that will be really stunning for guests to see when that...
And very educational, too.
Yes.
Because you can say, there you are.
Yes, you can see the differences between all of the different... All of the different varietals.
Yeah. So Cab Sauv is a part of the Cetinif de Pop?
It is not.
It is not.
We only have it planted because of our Tannat.
Right.
Because it's typically blended with...
Perfect.
And so our focus will remain on the...
And originally in Paso Robles, didn't they plant a lot of cab? People thought that it might do well.
Still
yeah,
around 40%
It's still very
planted.
Widely planted, and yeah. It does grow very well here.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of folks that do plant it.
But in your case, you're going to dance with who brung you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Lisa... Thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning, today, tonight, because we release this on a Friday night. And, you know, Shelly, Lisa brought a lot of knowledge today.
Mm-hmm.
What we like to say is a little bit of knowledge, wine becomes a lot less overwhelming. Thank you for listening. When you're down in Paso, visit Tablas Creek. It's a beautiful drive. When we drove up, a little bit of mist going on, coming off the ocean. I imagine
little
when we...
tarantula on the side of the road.
By the way, we were supposed to be here at 10 a.m., and we got here at 10:02 because I said, did you see that across this road? She says, no. I said, it was a tarantula.
I need to see it.
Yeah, so we went back, took some pictures. We'll post that on our Facebook page, the Paso Tarantula. Till next week with Orange Wine. Have an awesome weekend. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
You're about to make friends with a lot of winemakers because Naked Wines funds over 170 of the world's best. And they make wines exclusively for wine drinkers just like you. Delivery is free on first-time orders and orders over $200. And Wine Time Fridays listeners can get $100 off their first 12-pack order by visiting nakedwines.com/WineTimeFridays. Get world-class wines delivered at home thanks to Naked Wines. With Naked Wines, discovering new wines is truly risk-free. Quality grapes, good times, and great wine are meant to be shared. Since 2006, Elsom Cellars has been producing 100% local Washington wine from Washington's top vineyards. Our wines offer distinctive flavors born of a singular desire to create the quintessential gesture of hospitality. Owner Jody Elsom is a pioneer in the Seattle urban wine movement, and as a family-owned winery, Jody's kids have made a big impact on how we do things here. They not only have wines named after them, they also help name our wine club, which we now refer to as Corks on the Loose. For more information on Elsom Cellars, please visit elsomcellars.com or simply call 425-298-3082. Thank you for spending part of your day to wind down with Shelley and Phil. Remember, you can listen to any episode of the Wine Time Fridays podcast by visiting winetimefridays.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And join us on our Wine Time Fridays Facebook page, Instagram, YouTube channel, or on Twitter, which is @VintageTweets, for daily conversation. Until next week, here's our toast to you. To health, wealth, abundance, gratitude, peace on earth, and of course, romance.